rise again, because God is a Republican.
Ah, yes, lock those kids up. And as I said earlier, you know, the amazing thing is you look at what we do to American kids. I haven't done anything on the gun issue while kids are getting slaughtered in schools. I haven't done anything to make sure that kids, all kids, get health insurance or access to quality food or shelter or any of that stuff. So you look at what we do to our own kids. Imagine what we'd be willing to do to others. So not surprising. And not surprising that 58% of Republicans approve of the policy that this administration is pulling. Just 5% of Democrats, 27% of independents. This is where the other thing gets just bizarre. Of Trump supporters, 62% approve of what Trump is doing. Those 39% who are always there, and 51% of self-described conservatives. Now, white evangelicals, wow. In January, the Washington Post did a poll. 75% of white evangelicals rated the federal crackdown on undocumented immigrants as positive. Scary, scary stuff. And here to share some thoughts on just how scary it is, I've asked our good friend Chris Stroup to come talk with us. Chris is the founder of the hashtags Empty the Pews and Christian Alt Facts. Chris, thanks for taking time for us.
You're very welcome, Rick. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, should I be surprised that the number is as high as it is for white evangelical Christians to support this horrible policy when they're the ones who are telling us they're the people of family values?
Well, when that was taken in January, you know, we didn't have a lot of information about the separation of families from children, or we didn't know that was a policy at that time. We have seen some white evangelicals, some of the leaders anyway, speaking out specifically against the separation of children from families when their families are crossing the border to apply for asylum. Of course, that very policy is a violation of international law. You can't criminalize people who are applying for asylum, but we're doing it. We've seen a few speaking out, so I think we might see the 75% favorability that they have for Donald Trump right now fall some, but I doubt it will fall anywhere below the mid-60s and probably not even that low. They're definitely prioritizing their agenda. They'd usually, you know, the more educated ones who want to be respectable, they certainly don't like to admit that they're racist, but they're racist. And they do support white supremacy. They vote to uphold white supremacy constantly. So they're not too terribly concerned with brown families at the border. You know, though it is extremely hypocritical because in the United States, they have a lot of organs like through the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, for example, constantly sends its subscribers propaganda saying that CPS wants to take your children away. The government wants to take your children away. They use this fear mongering to keep homeschooling from being regulated. And, you know, now they're sort of maybe making a few verbal gestures in the direction of, well, we don't think that we should be separating children from families at the border, but are they going to do anything about it, I think, is the more important question. Good. And they won't.
Yeah, good point.
You know, good take in the Washington Post in an article by Julie Zosmer. She noted that white evangelicals are much quieter than the other religious groups who are speaking out against this policy.
Well, could it be that just, you know, they don't, like you said, they don't really care, and they've got their whole other separate agenda that they're pursuing and don't want to tick Trump off?
Sure, absolutely. You know, he's in their corner, they're in his corner, and they're not going to turn their backs on him. I was surprised that Franklin Graham used as strong language as he did, calling the policy disgraceful, but then, of course, he immediately moved to try to deflect and as much responsibility from Trump and from Republicans as possible. And again, I think that's a PR move. Evangelicals are realizing right now, as we've been exposing them, partly through hashtags like Empty the Pews and Christian Alt Facts and Church Too, that they are under the microscope. And, you know, all these abuse scandals recently have blown up, particularly in the Southern Baptist Convention. And so at their annual meeting that just took place very recently, they were sort of cowed. They tried to back away from this vigorous culture war stance without actually changing anything. But, you know, they did pass a resolution saying that they support keeping families together, as well as that they support secure borders. For example, they passed some resolutions on women and abuse. They actually passed a resolution saying that the Southern Baptist Convention supports women going to the authorities if they're abused by their husbands.
Whoa, stop. You know, just this year, 2018, that this is the first time they've done that?
Yeah, I believe so. And it's because all these scandals broke where many women spoke out and started saying, you know, our pastor, he told me I should go back to my husband and just try to submit to him more and suffer, and maybe God will use me to save his soul, bring him back to church, that kind of thing. So yeah, in many, many cases. And again, you know, when you have this annual meeting and you have the Southern Baptist Convention and the leadership, they are not, the things that they say, they're very slick about PR. They realize that they need to try to salvage their image. And I think we need to not make that easy for them. They didn't change anything about the theology. They still teach the same theology they call complementarianism, which is basically a strict patriarchal theology that teaches that men and women have distinct roles. Women are never allowed to have authority over men. They shouldn't work outside the home if possible. They're not allowed to teach men. They can't be pastors. So they didn't change any of that, nor did they change their stance on LGBTQ identities. You know, they still think homosexuality is a sin. They still deny that transgender people really exist. They elected a slicker, younger, more charismatic president in J.D. Greer, but he supports all this same toxic theology. So what's really going to change on the ground? Nothing. Yeah. And, you know, it's easy for leaders to say, oh, we don't think Donald Trump should be separating children from their parents at the border. But what are the people in the pews saying? You know,
and I often wonder, how is it possible that there are any women in the pews? I mean, if that's the theology, what woman in her right mind would subject herself to that? I mean, I sure hope my daughters never do.
Well, you know, this is how white supremacist American patriarchy has always worked. White women often sign on to the project, whether Catholic or Protestant. Think of Phyllis Schlafly, for example, because they still have that status, you know, over people of color. It's also, when you're raised in that environment, you're thoroughly indoctrinated. Fear, manipulation, control, it's very hard to break away from your family. So if it works okay for you, you know, or if you can make it work, you're going to stay. Or even if you're suffering, you might think that God wants you to suffer. And you'll just try to kind of carry on in quiet desperation.
So basically anything in the name of God or anything in the Bible, we can justify just about anything with. And I mean, I look at Jeff Sessions the other day and his justifying this horrible policy by saying, well, you know, it's in the Bible. The Bible, you know, it says that, you know, God, you know, believes in government and government can do no wrong. And so that's it.
Yeah, Romans 13, obviously not a very contextualized or nuanced reading, but one that has a long history in the United States and not only. I mean, that passage was frequently quoted by slave owners to support slavery.
You know, so it's not surprising that Sessions would have that right there on the tip of his tongue.
Not
saying
all.
That he was a slave owner. Maybe he would have wanted to be. We had just done away with it by the time he had a chance.
He kind of, by citing that verse specifically, he sort of let the cat out of the bag on the racism of the Christian right. And I think that's what sparked people like Franklin Graham to try and, you know, cover their bases and speak out against the policy. I think it was really Sessions and Sanders defending it on the basis of the Bible that sent them scrambling. But again, they're scrambling to preserve their image, not to actually do anything about this policy.
No, I mean, it's more about because the image is money. I mean, and this is tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that the image is all about the money.
I mean, it's money. It's also power and control. When we talk about fundamentalists, I mean, we talk about paranoid authoritarian people who have sort of created God in their image. And this God that they worship is also punitive and paranoid and tyrannical. So he can be invoked to justify whatever they want to justify.
Now, you've written a piece over at Playboy talking about Jeff Sessions, this new type of Christianity, the Sessions type is how you talked about it. How pervasive is this in society? Because as you point out, that both Hillary Clinton and Sessions are both of the same faith. I would argue different understandings, though.
United Methodist Church. And the UMC is a mainline denomination, so you know, at least at the more elite level, it tends to be somewhat more moderate to progressive in its politics than evangelical denominations do. So it is kind of weird that Sessions is a Methodist, but he is. But you know, he's much closer in his politics to evangelical Protestants and so sort of hardline traditionalist Catholics than he is to many in his own Methodist denomination. I don't really think this kind of Christianity is particularly new. It's something that comes up frequently in history when you have Christianity tied to power. And I think to understand what's going on in this country with the Trump regime, we really do have to look at it in terms of theocracy. I mean, he has surrounded himself with a cabinet full of radical Protestants. And he's got a few radical Catholics around him as well. You know, the vice president is a radical Protestant. And they are working towards the same agenda that they've been talking about for all these years. And I think they have a real shot at banning abortion, for example. I think Roe can be overturned if they get another Supreme Court justice. Obergefell can probably be overturned if they get another Supreme Court justice. And they're trying as hard as they can.
Yeah, and one of the other things you pointed out in your article is that Romans 13 was one of the favorite passages of the Nazis. And I know a lot of people are making comparisons between Trump and then that time in our world's history. Is that a fair comparison, though?
Well, Steve Bannon made it himself back during the campaign, if you remember, saying that things were going to be as exciting as the 1930s. And I think that, yeah, there are some parallels that can be drawn. It's not going to be an exact repeat, but the kind of rhetoric that Trump uses and his surrogates and certainly his supporters and his base use surrounding Muslims, surrounding foreigners applying for asylum, is the kind of dehumanizing rhetoric that precedes genocide. That doesn't mean that genocide necessarily follows, but it's a necessary condition. It's not a sufficient condition, but it's frightening. We should be concerned.
No, I know some way out evangelical types, and you know, the weird thing is they're gun nuts too.
Oh yeah,
and it's one of those things that. You know, I've had these conversations over the years that, you know, the extreme right, especially the religious right, you know, they're well armed. If there was ever a civil war, you know, you anti-gun liberals, you be afraid because, and I've made the argument that, you know, maybe the left needs to arm up pretty soon because we're not heading in a good place.
Well, I'll admit that I've thought about it. I've never owned a gun or had much of a desire to, but given how scary things are, I have thought about it myself, whatever that says about me.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump could be the great gun saver, the guy who saves the gun industry, like Obama did during his 8 years, just from the other side.
That being said, I would still support quite robust gun control, gun regulation, you know, not to say ban guns altogether, but we need to do something.
No, absolutely. But here's the thing, and this takes me back to where we started. You look at these people, they're doing absolutely nothing to protect our children. What makes us think that these folks are going to do anything to protect someone else's kids?
Yeah, and I mean, a few minutes before that, you were talking, you said something to the effect of, you know, we're keeping these children in cages, we're not giving them proper care, they're being neglected. The Americans doing this to their own children would be prosecuted. Well, homeschooling families very often do engage in extreme forms of neglect and abuse, and they don't get prosecuted for it. I mean, every once in a while, remember we talked about this sometime back on your show, every once in a while there's a big flare-up, like that family in California that had the 14 children chained to the bed and called it a homeschool and, you know, treated them terribly and forced them to memorize Bible verses. It's precisely these radical paranoid Christians who are very slick at getting religious exemptions to the laws or getting homeschooling to be basically unregulated who commit these kinds of abuses. And it's the same population that will, say, kick their kids out of their homes if they come out as gay or transgender. And this is why 40% of the homeless population, the homeless youth population in this country is LGBT. Their Christian parents kick them out of their homes. We should clarify, of course, not all evangelicals. You know, I'm sure that, you know, if I had come out as queer younger, my parents would not have kicked me out. I'm not 100% sure that I wouldn't have been subjected to conversion therapy.
And that's kind of a vile.
Oh, it is. It's torture. It's psychological torture.
So again, I go back to what I said from the beginning. It's not surprising to me that they would be okay with what's going on to other people's children when they subject their own kids to this kind of stuff.
No, absolutely. And this is why we shouldn't take the rhetoric of someone like Franklin Graham or even the Southern Baptist Convention leaders at face value when they say, oh, we don't support the separation of children from their parents at the border. You know, they're really just trying to protect their reputation. And this kind of authoritarian subculture, reputation always takes precedence over people.
So last line of questioning I've got for you, because, you know, I have these conversations occasionally and I'll bring this stuff up and people look at me like I'm a third, like I've got a third head. In fact, I was just talking to my aunt the other night about, you know, the 19 and counting folk people and the, cause she's actually watched it, I guess, a couple of times. You know, not somebody who watches it all the time, but you know, it was, you know, they're a nice family. I'm going, no, they're kind of crazy. And the whole movement that they were the kind of head of, kind of crazy. And, you know, she, until I went through and explained what we've talked about, she had no idea. And I think most people have no idea that there's this subculture, this undercurrent of crazy going on right under our noses.
Yeah, the Duggars are not a nice family. Quiverful is not a nice thing. It's an extreme form of Christian patriarchy in which children are basically treated like the property of their parents until the men become old enough to marry and leave the home, and the women are then transferred to husbands. Their whole education, to the extent that they get one, tends to be focused on becoming a good homemaker and quote-unquote helpmeet to their future husbands. The purity culture is just nuts. Lots of abuse happens within that, you know, and of course Josh Duggar himself molested several girls, including his own sister. That whole scandal broke.
Yeah, I mean that.
And yeah, they use homeschooling this is also part of the whole Christian AltFacts thing, the hashtag, another hashtag that I created. In the curriculum that is frequently used for homeschools and Christian schools is full of alternative facts, right? So, you know, kind of been ironically throwing that phrase around and abbreviated it from Christian alternative facts to Christian AltFacts. But yeah, I mean, they teach not only things like the United States is a Christian country, South African apartheid was basically good because the black Africans would never have built up a good civilization on their own. It's full of things like that and more. The Loch Ness Monster is real and proves that dinosaurs coexisted with humans and died off sometime after Noah's flood. I mean, they teach all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite stories is, and one of these days I really want to get down to Kentucky to go to the Creationist Museum, to go on the Ark, where evidently there are dinosaurs on the Ark.
It's two separate museums, the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter. I've been thinking about doing that too. Maybe we should go together.
I would absolutely love that. We could do a kind of a podcast of it.
Yeah.
I'll take a little undercover video camera and you can explain just how crazy it all really is. Scary, scary stuff. And if you look at Kentucky, evidently their Board of Education just okayed Bible literacy standards in their public schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, you know, the Bible's had such an important impact on history and culture that I don't disapprove of teaching about it in school in a proper way, but I don't trust that they're going to do it in a proper way.
That's my problem.
Yeah.
Crazy is as crazy does. But Chris, I appreciate the thoughts, the time. Every time I talk to you, I walk away just going, we're screwed.
I'm sorry, Rick. thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Chris. Good stuff. There's somebody you absolutely want to follow on Twitter and follow the hashtags as well. The Empty the Pews hashtag and also Christian Alt Facts, our good friend Chris Stroop. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Exposing that free trade is never free.